All right, welcome to the Table Talk podcast. Today I'm here with two of our pharmacists on our team, Dr. Nicole Grahams and Dr. Sarah Anderson. So do you guys want to introduce yourselves to start off?
Yeah, I'm Dr. Nicole Grahams. I'm in Wisconsin. I see patients in Wisconsin and I like to work with people that have a lot of stress. So this is a perfect topic for me to join in on.
And I am Sarah Anderson. I'm based in Minnesota, so I see mainly patients in Minnesota. And also, you know, I feel like no matter who I'm working with, which typically I'm working with the autoimmune population, we're always talking about stress as one of those dimensions of well-being.
Awesome. Yes. So the holidays are upon us. So we are going to release this podcast before the Thanksgiving holiday and then many of the December holidays, including Christmas and Hanukkah or whatever you celebrate. But we know that this is a busy time of year and we wanted to just put something out there saying, hey, these are some ways that you can help yourself enjoy this time because these holidays are not meant to be stressful. These are holidays that we have a very specific purpose in celebrating. And I think we have to get back to that purpose and forget about all the hustle and bustle sometimes and all the little things that sort of get to us, buying the gifts or, you know, how it's wrapped or this event that you have to go to or all of those things sort of tie us up and get us really stressed. And it makes it to the point where, especially if you're hosting, you're just like exhausted and you didn't actually enjoy the people and the community that is surrounding you during those times. So I'll let Nicole kick it off. What is your like number one advice to people as they're setting foot into this time of year and just really what they should be thinking about when it comes to de-stressing and enjoying this time?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously holiday season has a lot of different layers going on and not only the prep and the presents and the everything else, but also the family, which isn't always necessarily the most, the easiest to, you know, get along with, especially if there's any fighting or any, somebody should be doing this. All of the dynamics come to play around the holiday tables. And I think one of the big pieces of advice that I give to people is to really go in not expecting anybody to be different than what they are. Because I think part of the big issues that we have is going in with these expectations of, you know, we're going to have this perfect family meal. Nobody's going to fight. All the kids are going to behave. Like letting go of the resistance right to what's actually happening.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that we do have those expectations like this is going to be this, you know, Pottery Barn style Thanksgiving table and it's going to be beautiful. And then as soon as like something goes awry and the child breaks something or all of those things happen, it just like derails the expectations. So alongside of that, a little bit about being realistic in our expectations too. Sarah, did you want to speak to that first?
Yeah. With regards to being realistic, I think thinking about, you know yourself best, you know your own family best. So really taking into account, like if you know your kids need a nap in order to have a successful evening and a pleasant evening, set a boundary and make sure that leave that space that's needed, for example. And I think too, just prioritizing your calendar as far as ahead of time, know what you are going to plan to say yes to, know what you're okay saying no to, and then stick to that plan so that you don't feel at last minute like you have to change your mind on something, and giving yourself enough space to hone your energy and harness your energy for the things that you really want to be present for. A big piece of stick and setting expectations for yourself and having that discussion with your family so that you're all on the same page and kind of be unapologetic about it. Knowing again that you know yourself and your family best and what'll make it the most, set yourself up for success and set yourself up for being able to be present and not rushing around.
Yeah. Anything you want to add to that, Nicole?
Yeah, I mean, just adding in the learning to say no, the family dynamics can come into play there as well because, you know, Aunt Susie is pressuring you to whatever and like, oh, come play this game. And like, if you're exhausted, it's okay to honestly kind of disappoint other people if you need to take care of yourself. And that's a barrier that not many people even recognize is there because they just feel pressured to do and never take time to take care of themselves. And then, you know, we end up with stress hormones going crazy and then you get on edge and nobody like learn to take care of yourself through this process.
And then you eat sugar.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And sugar and the drinks and the, you know, overstuffing yourself with turkey. Yeah, there's a lot of dynamics there.
Right, right.
Another piece too is acknowledging your feelings throughout the holidays. People are grieving or going through loss or not with their loved ones for one reason or another that can bring up a lot of different feelings. So with thinking about that, you know, knowing that it's really sacred time to create some space for just yourself and getting out in nature, knowing that that can be really helpful in decreasing stress of any kind. And also particularly when people are going through a particularly difficult and challenging time, getting out for a walk in nature, doing something just for yourself, like booking a massage or getting a book that you've been meaning to read off the shelf and just having some time to yourself to read that or whatever it might be for you. But taking time for self-care, acknowledging your feelings. And I think too, being able to connect with individuals in your life who, you know what you might be going through, who you've connected in the past with about whatever that might be, whether it's grief or some mental health issues that are coming up and are even more strong during the holiday season due to the overwhelm and the busyness around us. And then another thought I thought to kind of go along with it is to think about ways that you and your family can show gratitude and kind of yourself. So thinking of others or honoring others through different means of volunteering or participating in Toys for Tots or participating in your local winter coat drive or whatever that might be that's meaningful to you that gets you kind of out of your head thinking about yourself and your situation and knowing that you're helping others and honoring, you know, if time of grief due to a loss, honoring that person through an action that you can take as a family.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think, you know, those volunteer times to like be able to step out into the community helps you to feel like part of, you know, community is such an important piece of health. And taking that time, whether it's doing, you know, sponsoring a family, there's like a women's center here that allows you to sponsor some of these families throughout the year, whatever that is, taking thing off a tree somewhere that's like one gift for someone else. But sometimes just that feeling of active service can really help lift your spirits in a way, but also depending on what type of activity it is, can connect with that community that you're in and help to feel as lonely if that's, you know, not your feeling. But the stress can honestly like make some of that worse. And so that's what we're really talking about here is trying to like set these expectations so that you don't have that extra burden on your mental health. And we talked a lot about mental health last week at a conference that we did for a pharmacist. And there's so much that goes into it beyond just, you know, there's lots of aspects that affect. There's, you know, inflammation aspects, there's nutrition pieces, there's nutrient depletions, all these things. And so when it comes to this time of year, I think, you know, the added darkness and all of these contributing factors, I don't know about you guys, but at like 5 p.m., I'm like, okay, it's time. It's 10 o'clock. It's time for bed.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it's right. Like up in your area. But it definitely makes you like more, that seasonal affective disorder can really set in for people around this time. So the more you can engage with your support group, whether those are virtual support groups or just people in your community, that can be really helpful. Let's talk a little bit about budgeting, because I think the financial stress is something that really gets people this time of year as well. So one thing that's helpful for us, and then it's obviously a little too late if you haven't done this yet, but starting January, you can just set aside like a certain amount per month in your monthly budget to your Christmas budget. So we do that, whether it's like $200 a month or whatever that budget looks like, look at your spending for this year and say, okay, I'm going to be better prepared for this next year and set aside this in my budget. But if you didn't plan ahead and didn't budget that for this year, maybe even thinking about like a family gift exchange instead of buying for every person, or maybe you donate to charity in someone's name, and maybe you do homemade gifts instead of big extravagant gifts, or, you know, making sure your family is on the same page with the budget for those family gift exchange type things can be helpful too. I'm a huge advocate for like experiences over gifts as well. So if you have the opportunity to buy less material things for your kids, and I know when they're young, that's sort of hard if there's not a lot for them to open on Christmas morning. But for our kids, they get gifts from grandma and grandpa, they get gifts from nana and granddad, they get gifts from aunts and uncles. And so I feel like I don't have as much pressure to like have a ton of stuff underneath the tree. So we are giving them like a vacation instead of a big, you know, gift and something that we'll do together as a family in January. And so it sort of fills both buckets, right? The family vacation bucket and that Christmas present bucket. But whatever it looks like for you guys, I think, I don't know if you guys want to add to that, like budget you do for Christmas or how you sort of keep track of that spending. Cause I know it can be challenging when you're like, oh, I got to get people stuff at work. I got to get people. And maybe that's, and Nicole probably can speak to this better, but sometimes we have this expectation in our head that we have to buy for someone and we feel like we have to, and maybe we don't, right?
Yeah.
Nicole, do you want to, you're nodding your head yes?
Well, I made an attempt one year at trying to do secondhand gift exchange where like you're not allowed mm-hmm. to buy something new for each other. So that was kind of fun. Not many yeah. people actually followed it in my family, but but like you can go to a thrift store and find something quirky or cool or like do a white elephant gift exchange instead. I was thinking kind of before about, mm-hmm. you know, traditions and like you mentioned, like giving kids gifts is one of the traditions, but they don't necessarily know that. And you can start your own tradition of like, we're going to do this experiential thing. We're going to go on a picnic when it's, you know, not snowy out if you've got snow around mm-hmm. or like, we're going to go somewhere right on a road trip. But yeah, I lost my train of thought of what I was talking about. Oh, like financial stress and just, I think a lot of it comes down to remembering why. And some people are really gift givers and they really enjoy the idea of giving somebody a gift, but mm-hmm. that gift doesn't necessarily need to cost a lot of money or any at all, depending, because maybe you're artistic and can paint a picture or, you know, sew a new blanket for somebody or, you know, something like that. Like, time investment is also it completely valid. And, you know, it also doesn't have to take a lot of time to make something that's inexpensive as well. So I don't really have great ideas for what that might look like, but yeah. I know they're out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I can add too, we also are big on the experiences versus the toys. And it's in kind of twofold. You get the experience, you get less stuff, and you're supporting your local community a lot of the time. So, you know, for example, mm-hmm. maybe you get a membership for your family for the local zoo or a membership for the Children's Museum or Science Museum or whatever is in your area that requires a membership or subscription. That could be a great idea. It's kind of a one-time annual fee, and then you can enjoy it all year long, and particularly in the winter if you are mm-hmm. in a snowy area, that's helpful to have those memberships on hand for when it's too cold or too snowy. And then also something I was thinking of for the younger kid, like you said, who do like to unwrap things. I heard this, I forget if I read about it in a book or heard it on a podcast, but the idea of getting them something to read, something to learn, something to wear, and something to play with. So I liked that kind of idea of, you know, maybe there's one toy in there, but then you're getting a book, an article of clothing, you know, they'll wear, and then something that, you know, they're working on their math skills. So you get them something related to math or something. So I kind of liked that kind of spreading, creating that very gift giving for any given child.
Yeah, I think that's really helpful.
Remember at one point I was doing gifts of the senses, which is, I think is a great way to do small gifts that are thoughtful and also, again, not expensive, but like something to look at. Maybe it's a picture of the two of you, something to smell. Maybe it's a, you know, scented candle, maybe the taste, you get them a chocolate bar, you know, those sorts of things where it's kind of an experiential gift without having the experience outside necessarily, yeah. but it's thoughtful. To like, oh, hey, I thought of this when I, you know, here's a little trinket of my appreciation or something like that.
Yeah. This reminds me of, there's a book called The Five Love Languages, and it talks about people's love language. So like Nicole was saying, like some people are more about the gift giving because that's their love language. They feel loved when people get mm-hmm. them gifts, and other people are more about quality time. So less about the gift that you give them, but they want you to spend that time with them. Some people it's words of affirmation. So they just want, you know, people to tell them what they're doing and well and encourage them. And so even within your kids, there's a like regular book, and then they've done like the five love languages for your children. And I think it's helpful to start to see that. And you can't always see it when they're little. Like when they're little, they're like, presents, presents, everybody needs presents. But when they are starting to get older, I think it starts to come out. Like I totally think my daughter's is more quality time, words of affirmation. She doesn't care as much about the gift things. And that's pretty similar to me. Whereas like my mom and my youngest sister, they're very much the gift giving. And that, you know, that's one of their love languages. So I think also like appreciating, even if it's not your love language to give a lot of gifts, like appreciating that it's someone else's. And like, also, you know, if they are really engaged in that, like helping understand, as I had to learn that, because before it was like, no, we don't need to do gifts, or we don't need to, you know, we don't need to. And it just became a stress that I was like, oh, we don't need to spend money on gifts. And they were like, but this is what we love to do. And so I think it helped with the whole stress piece of the holidays to realize like, okay, we do need to exchange gifts because this is how they express their love. So just, you know, figuring out those family dynamics, whether it's your immediate family or your more extended family, I think can be helpful when you're trying to figure out the stress and how to manage that.
One more thing, Melody, to add. Yeah. I was going to say, when it comes to homemade gifts, I'm by no means a very crafty person, but something I found last year, these kits, you know, on Amazon, and you can probably find them elsewhere too, but to like roll beeswax candles, and like the kids had a fun time doing it. I had a fun time doing it, you know, make different size candles, make one, you know, cut something out of the beeswax, like a heart to like put around the candle. So the grandparents loved beeswax candles. And then we've also made soap. So that's also pretty easy, you know, having some different essential oils dropped in and, you know, pretty little like flower petals. And they're, again, both pretty easy things to do. The mold comes with the kit for the soaps, you know, and different shaped soaps and things like that. So just some ideas as far as homemade things that don't require a ton of craftiness on your part.
Yes, yes. I think back in college, it was in to do those like fleece blankets where you tie like every piece and at the end and cut them out. And like after doing like two of them, I was like, I'm never doing this again, right? It takes so much time. And that's not even like very technical compared to like actually knitting something, which I have like no knitting skills whatsoever. So, but I do appreciate one of my friends from college, she knits all kinds of stuff and she's much better at it. But I appreciate her homemade scarves that she has gifted me. Well, let's take a moment to talk about not abandoning our healthy habits during this time, because so many people, I think, get to this time of year and they're like, oh, Thanksgiving to Christmas, my normal diet template is like out the window and I'll start over January 1st is so much of what I hear from patients, friends, family. So I think, you know, one of the things is we don't want you to feel like you can't enjoy, because food is part of our enjoyment. That is part of why it's here. We want to be able to enjoy those things, but we also don't want to go overboard at the same time. If we have those sweets around, we don't want to eat sugar cookies every day in December or whatever that treat is for you. So trying to, you know, enjoy it while it's there, enjoy it while it's part of the community gathering. But then when you're back at home, you know, not bringing home that two trays of desserts to your house to eat for the next 2 weeks, I think is one thing. But trying to like keep up with, even though there's lots of events oftentimes this time of year, like trying to make sure you're still providing a core healthy meal for your family during the day. And sleep is huge. So sleep, we know that lack of sleep can decrease our immune function. It can also raise our glucose, which changes our immune function as well. Like RSV is like going crazy right now. There's all kinds of viral things going around. We're recording this podcast today instead of 2 weeks ago because I was sick with something. So there's a lot going around, and we just want to make sure you guys prioritize the sleep component. We talk about de-stressing and sleeping and all these things on all of our podcasts, but it's really important to try to stick with that 7 to 8 hours of sleep per night. And then deep breathing exercises, taking that moment. We've talked about that before here on this platform, but doing those box breathing where you're breathing in, you're holding it, you're breathing out, you're holding it, whether you start with 4 seconds or 5 seconds, but really taking that time to pause, especially when you get like a little bit overwhelmed, or just scheduling that in the morning, maybe taking a break in the afternoon to do that, doing it before bed, something to get your body back into that parasympathetic state, that relaxation state. And really really some of the extra stress this time of year, I think, also comes from things we read online, or if we feel like we should be doing what so-and-so's doing on Pinterest or so-and-so's doing on Instagram. And so getting off of those apps, I know it's hard, but trying not to spend your time just looking there and at the people around you. And we're not going to be best friends with the Instagram influencer that's talking about this amazing thing. And so, you know, making sure we're enjoying this time with our family instead of having that extra stress from the cultural expectations is important. But anything you guys want to add to that as far as those healthy habits, not abandoning them?
Yeah, I was going to say with the nutrition piece of it, eating well, eating what you want, but being mindful of what it is that you're eating, because it's easy to stand next to the cookie tray and eat six of them when really you go in really only wanting one. But I think guilt comes around a lot with food and like, oh, I'm not following my diet. Now I have to feel guilty mm-hmm. about eating the things. I want to give you permission to just let go of the guilt that goes along with indulging a bit, but also reminding yourself to be mindful mm-hmm. of what it is that you're eating.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I was just going to tag on again, kind of what I mentioned earlier on getting out in nature and going for a walk. And even as a family, you know, if people are used to just sitting around after a meal, kind of encouraging people, let's get up, get some mm-hmm. fresh air. It can help you kind of feel more present in the moment and help you kind of revel in the beauty around you, whether you have snow or not snow or just, you know, being able to enjoy the current season, the current moment, and especially if you're able to do that with some family members.
Yes, yes. I mean, some families get out there and do a turkey trot on Thanksgiving, which is not what I would be doing because I am not a runner. And it's just funny. I saw like a Pinterest, not a Pinterest thing, but like a meme last year, like people like fearful of marrying someone that's family does like a turkey trot on Thanksgiving, which I think is funny. It's like poking fun at it. But yeah, I think take that walk. We have been going down to Gatlinburg in the Sevierville area in Tennessee the last couple years for Thanksgiving ever since 2020. And so even just like, it's nice to even, there's no stress because I'm like in a hotel room and I don't really cook a turkey. We just have like whatever is available and we cook, we plan some meals and do some takeout. But sometimes just that kind of thing, instead of having these like crazy stressful meals, is just some of what you need. And, but getting out in the national park and hiking and being outside, it's a little warmer there than it is in Ohio. So sometimes those little like getaway trips, experience things instead of the norm can be helpful. So, all right. Anything on our stress, decreasing stress of the holidays and list here?
Probably a lot, but I can't think of any.
Probably a lot.
Yeah. I think we covered a good variety, a good smattering of topics.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess one thing I will say is too, if like you're celebrating the holiday for a religious purpose. So in my faith, I am a Christian. So we are celebrating Christmas. And so some of the things that help decrease the stress, I think, is getting back to like the reason that we're celebrating. I think we sort of hinted at that before, but doing like an Advent calendar with your family or doing like, I have like a devotional reading that's like this day is, you know, through the Christmas story, like each day and different organizations. And we can link a couple of my favorites in the show notes, but they have, you know, really pretty books that sort of like give you the time to pause and reflect and, you know, why we're actually here and celebrating this. And it's not just about the hustle and bustle like we talked about, but for those that may not celebrate Christmas, obviously there's, you know, things in whatever, you know, you're celebrating during this time. So don't lose sight of the purpose and what's really important during this time and the family and friends and those, you know, really good relationships, because that's all we're taking with us. After all this material stuff is not going to be around. It says relationships and reflections and just times to pause. Well, thanks ladies for joining me today to talk about this important topic. And hopefully this will just help people take that pause and get through the holidays, or not just get through. I think that's the thing. Some people are like, oh, I just got to get through this. And I don't want people just to get through this. I want people to enjoy this and enjoy the time with your family and really embrace it. And when January 1st comes, that you're like, oh, that was such a good month. Not necessarily super sad, but you know, like have a really reverence for what we're celebrating over the next couple weeks.
Yeah. Have some good memories to bring forward into the new year with.
Yes. Yes, for sure. Awesome. Well, as always, you can find us at farmtotable, PharmTotable.life, LIFE. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We're excited you are on your journey with us. Find us online at farmtotable.life, farm with a P, and on Instagram at farmtotableteam.